Welcome to D&B College. In this lesson, we're rebuilding a Roughneck Jungle Pad Drift in Ableton Live 12, and the goal is not to make a pretty pad. The goal is to make something worn, haunted, slightly unstable, and alive enough to sit behind the drums and bass without stealing the show. Think of this sound as atmosphere with attitude. It should make the tune feel bigger, older, and a bit more dangerous. In jungle, darker rollers, deep atmospheric D&B, and old-school influence tracks, this kind of pad can do a huge amount of work. It can carry the intro, open up the breakdown, add tension under the drop, or evolve the second drop so the track doesn't feel like a copy of itself. Start simple. Build your pad from a plain source that can handle movement. A sustained chord from Waveeatable, analog, or even a sampled chord in Simpler works great. Keep the harmony compact. A minor voicing with a root, minor third, fifth, and maybe a ninth is enough. Don't overstack it. If the source is already too busy, the drift turns into mush before you even begin. What to listen for here is emotional usefulness. Even before processing, the source should already feel like it belongs in a tune. If it feels noisy, harsh, or overly rich, that will only get worse once we start filtering and whitening. Now shape the tone before adding motion. Put auto filter after the source and pull down the brightness. A low pass somewhere in the rough zone of 600 Hz to 3K Hz can be a really good starting point, depending on the sound. Then use EQA to clean up the areas that fight the mix. If there's low junk, high pass it. If it's muddy, trim some 200 to 400 Hz. If it has an edge that gets in the way of the snare or hats, check around 2.5 to 5K Hz. If it needs a little air later, you can add that back carefully, but only after the movement is working. Why this works in D&B is simple. The arrangement is already packed with transient detail, sub-pressure, and rhythmic information. Your pad doesn't need to be huge across the whole spectrum. It needs to occupy the space between the snare, the break, and the bass, without stepping on any of them. At this point, decide whether you want a darker, more haunted version or a slightly airier emotional version. If you want the Roughneck feel, lean darker and more filtered. If you want something that reads more emotionally on smaller systems, keep a little more top end. Both work. The question is what the tune needs. Next, give the pad movement. Keep it slow. We're not going for a trance wobble or a filter demo. We want drift. Automate the cutoff over 4 or 8 bars so it opens and closes gently, or use subtle parameter motion that feels like breathing behind the drums. If the source is synth-based, you can also add tiny pitch instability or very subtle detune, but keep it restrained. You want haunted, not seasick. What to listen for is whether the pad feels like it is moving with a phrase rather than sitting on top of it. If you can clearly hear the filter effect as the main event, it's probably too much. The sweet spot is when you notice the atmosphere changing, but the groove still feels stable. Now we bring in the Roughneck character. This is where the sound stops being generic and starts sounding like jungle. A really effective chain is saturator into echo into reverb. Drive the saturator a little, maybe 2 to 6 dB, and use soft clip if needed. Keep echo subtle, with low feedback and short, filtered repeats. Use reverb carefully, with a controlled decay and a low cut so the low end doesn't smear out. If the sound still feels too polite, you can add a second texture chain with something like corpus or frequency shifter, but use tiny amounts. The aim is texture, not sci-fi chaos. Another very useful move is to print the sound to audio once it's musical. That old-school printed feel can actually help the pad sound more believable, like it's been bounced through a real jungle workflow. Why this works in D&B is because classic jungle atmospheres often feel sampled, resampled, and slightly degraded. That imperfection gives the sound identity. It makes the track feel human. It makes the pad feel like part of the record, not a plugin preset floating above it. Now turn the pad into a phrase, not just a held note. Try working in 2-bar or 4-bar shapes. Let it rise under the break, dip a little where the snare needs authority, and open up again for the next phrase. That push and pull is what makes the pad feel arranged instead of looped. What to listen for here is the relationship with the drums. The pad should create lift without flattening the break. If the snare starts feeling smaller or the ghost notes lose their swing, the pad is probably phrasing too aggressively. Back it off a touch, or shift the swell away from the snare hit. Stereo width is the next big decision, and this is where a lot of pads go wrong. You want width, but you do not want low mid fog. Keep the core centered and let only the upper texture spread out. Use utility and check mono compatibility as you go. If the pad has low end or low mid content, keep that part in the middle. If you want to whiten it, widen the airy layer above that. A very practical split is to keep things below about 200 to 300 Hz controlled and centered, Then let the atmosphere open up above that. If you duplicate the track, you can keep one layer darker and central while making the second layer thinner, brighter, and wider. That gives you menace without wrecking the mix. Always bring the drums and bass in early. Don't design the synth solo for too long. In context, ask three questions. Does the pad interfere with the snare transient? Does it cloud the break's details? Does it get in the way of the bass attack? If the snare feels smaller, trim the 1 to 4 kHz area or shorten the reverb tail. If the break loses swing, reduce the movement or move the swells off the snare. If the bass gets blurry, high pass the pad a bit more and lower it before doing anything drastic. This is also where you can shape the arrangement relationship. In darker DNB, a great pad often swells during the gaps in the bass line and backs off when the bass phrase lands. That call and response keeps the tune moving and gives the listener a real sense of arrangement. At this point, you can choose your flavor. If you want a haunted wash, go for longer reverb, softer movement, and more spread. That's perfect for intros and breakdowns. If you want a roughneck pulse, shorten the decay, make the swell points more obvious, and maybe add a little gating or volume movement. That works better when the pad needs to breathe with the drums but still keep momentum. For a track that's more jungle and break-driven, that roughneck pulse often hits harder. For something more moody and cinematic, the wash can be beautiful. Just remember, if the pad becomes a constant cloud that never changes, it's probably too static for this style. Now think beyond the loop. A loop is not a track. Automate the pad across the arrangement. In the intro, keep it filtered and distant. In the build, let it open up over 4 or 8 bars. In the first drop, tuck it back so the drums and bass hit cleanly. In the breakdown, bring it forward again. In the second drop, don't just make it louder. Change the cutoff, the texture, the stereo behavior, or the phrase shape so the return feels intentional. A strong DNB arrangement uses contrast. The pad can be more mysterious in the intro, more restrained in the first drop, more open in the breakdown, and slightly more aggressive or degraded in the second drop. That evolution keeps the listener leaning forward. Once the movement feels right, print it to audio and stop overworking it. This is a really important one. If the pad already supports the track, don't keep stacking devices just because you're still inspired in solo. In a DNB session, overprocessing a supportive atmosphere is one of the fastest ways to lose punch and make the mix feel lazy. A good final check is to mute the pad for a moment in the full arrangement. If the section suddenly feels flat or empty, the pad is doing real work. If the mix actually gets better, then the pad is overreaching. That's your answer. A few bonus principles will keep you out of trouble. Treat the pad like an arrangement asset, not a sound design trophy. If it feels exciting alone, but disappears when the drums and bass come in, the midrange is probably too crowded or the motion is too broad. Fix the midrange first. Use degradation intentionally. A little saturation, filtered echo smear, or a printed grit can make the pad feel like it came from an older source. And keep the sublane sacred. Dark does not mean muddy. Here's another useful idea. Version the sound on purpose. Keep one cleaner version, one degraded version, and one more aggressive version. That gives you options later when the track needs either clarity or menace. It also makes it easier to create a second drop that feels like an evolution instead of a repeat. So to recap, the recipe is simple but powerful. Start with a plain harmonic source. Filter it with intent. Add subtle movement. Print some instability into the sound. Shape it rhythmically so it breathes with the drums. Keep the core stable. Widen only the top. And always check it in context with kick, snare, break, and bass. The best roughneck jungle pads are dark, moving, and controlled. They don't shout. They make the tune feel deeper, older, and more dangerous. Now take the exercise and build a 16-bar jungle pad drift in Ableton using only stock devices. Keep it mono safe below the low mid range. Make one clear swell, one filter dip, and one transition moment, then bounce it to audio. If you want the extra challenge, make two versions, one cleaner and one more degraded. That's the move. Get that down. Trust your ears, and remember, if the pad supports the record without stealing the snare, you're in the right zone.